Amen. At this time, please take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ruth, Ruth chapter 3 in your Bibles. We're continuing in our Advent series on the book of Ruth, and we've been seeing how the book of Ruth, even though it's in the Old Testament, is really a Christmas story. And in week one, we saw, and we'll put this up on the slides, we saw how the book of Ruth is the story of a young woman who made a radical commitment of faith to God and then journeyed to Bethlehem, where she gave birth to a child who had changed the world. And we looked at that and said, wow, that's the book of Ruth. That's also the story of Christmas, isn't it? And then in week two, we saw how the book of Ruth is the story also of a righteous man who offered kindness, protection, and provision to a young woman in her time of need. That was Boaz. And we said, wow, that's Joseph in the Christmas story as well. Joseph did that for Mary as well. Well, this week it gets even better, because this week we learn that the book of Ruth is the story of a kinsman redeemer who at great cost to himself redeemed his beloved from a desperate situation. And that is most definitely a description of the Christmas story as well. Once again, we're going to be working our way through a large section of Ruth this morning, but we'll begin by reading verses 9 through 13 in chapter 3. Let us stand together for the reading of God's word. Ruth chapter 3, beginning at verse 9. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer." "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character. And although it is true that I am near of kin, there is a kinsman redeemer nearer than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to redeem, good, let him redeem. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Father, I pray now that you would speak to us through the book of Ruth, that you would speak to us through the events of Christmas. Draw us closer to Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Well, we have now met all three of the main characters in the book of Ruth. In week one, we first met Naomi. Naomi, who left Bethlehem and moved to Moab with her husband and her two sons. And then next, we met Ruth. And Ruth was from Moab, and she married one of Naomi's sons after Naomi's husband had died. And then after both of Naomi's sons died as well, then Ruth and Naomi traveled back to Bethlehem, and that's where we met the third main character in this story, the man Boaz. It was harvest time, and Ruth went out to glean in the fields, and she just happened to glean in the fields of Boaz. And we said, as we said last week, that was no coincidence. The book of Ruth is a love story, and God in his providence was orchestrating events so that Boaz and Ruth would meet. And Boaz offered kindness, protection, and provision to Ruth while she harvested in his fields. And so as we closed out chapter 2 last week, we ended on a happy note. Boy meets girl. Everything's great, right? Except for the very last sentence in chapter 2. You know, a happy ending to chapter 2 would have read like this, right? "And so Boaz and Ruth got married, and they lived happily ever after," right? Isn't that the way a love story is always supposed to end? Instead, we got this for the last sentence in chapter 2. "And she," Ruth, "lived with her mother-in-law." What? You mean the guy doesn't get the girl? I mean, what kind of a happy ending is that? Well, as with most love stories, there are twists and turns along the way before you get to that truly happy ending. It's never a straight path, is it? There's always obstacles. And the big obstacle right now is this. The harvest season is over. That's ended. And Ruth and Boaz never got together. And so chapter 2 ends with Ruth living with her mother-in-law instead of married to Boaz. We're going to need a big plot twist, aren't we, if Ruth and Boaz are going to get together. That's exactly what we get here in chapter 3. We get a big, daring, bold, breathtaking plot twist that no one could ever have seen coming. So let's jump into chapter 3. What we find when we enter chapter 3 is that Ruth and Naomi are in a desperate situation. Now, God's provided food for them, for which they are grateful, but their great need is for Ruth to marry. Because unless Ruth marries, the two of them will always be in a precarious position. Plus, neither of them will have any children to carry on the family line. This was very, very important in Israel. Desperate situations call for desperate measures, and Naomi comes up with a plan that is so shocking that it only serves to highlight how desperate their situation truly is. So look with me at Ruth chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. One day, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not try to find a home for you where you will be well provided for? And is not Boaz, with whose servant girls you have been, a kinsman of ours? Tonight, he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash, perfume yourself, put on your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. And when he lies down, note the place where he is lying, and then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. So this is Naomi's brilliant plan. She will send Ruth to Boaz alone in the middle of the night to lie down at his feet and then suffer whatever the consequences. This is a desperate plan. This is a reckless plan. This is a scandalous plan. Kids, don't try this at home. Naomi's situation is so desperate. She is willing to risk everything in order that just possibly Ruth and Boaz might come together as husband and wife. See, Boaz is a kinsman. He's a close relative of Naomi's deceased husband. And so there's a long shot here that he may be willing to fulfill the role of the kinsman redeemer. Now, you might remember from last week when Ruth first told Naomi about Boaz, the first thing Naomi said was, she said, "The Lord bless him. That man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers." And I told you last week, this week, you'd find out what is a kinsman redeemer. Well, the kinsman redeemer was a close relative who was responsible to help a family member out in their time of need. And there are a number of ways this might come about. If a family member became poor and had to sell off their land, the kinsman redeemer was supposed to buy their land back for them. The kinsman redeemer was also responsible to buy back any family members sold into slavery and to avenge the killing of a close relative. And then there was the special case of a widow who had no children. And in this case, the man's brother was to marry the widow, and the first son that she bore to him would carry on not his name, but would carry on the name of his dead brother, so that his brother's name would not be blotted out from Israel. And so Naomi is hoping that Boaz will fulfill the role of kinsman redeemer, that he will marry Ruth so that her family name will continue. So she comes up with this great plan. She has Ruth prepare herself as a bride. Ruth washes and perfumes herself. She puts on her best clothes. She heads out for the threshing floor. We pick up the story in verse 7. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man, and he turned and discovered a woman lying at his feet. And so after a long day of harvesting and a good hearty meal, Boaz lies down for the night on the threshing floor. He's going to protect his grain from any robbers. And Ruth waits until he's sleeping, and then quietly, oh so quietly, she sneaks over. She uncovers his feet. She lies down, and she waits. In the middle of the night, something startles Boaz. He wakes up, perhaps the chill of the night hitting his uncovered feet. Perhaps that was part of the plan. But then he's really startled because as he wakes up, he looks down. There's a woman lying on the floor at his feet. And he says, "Who are you?" She says, "I am your servant Ruth. Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer." Spreading the corner of your garment over a woman was a pledge of marriage. This is a custom that's still practiced in parts of the Middle East today. So Ruth identifies herself, "I'm your servant, Ruth." And then very boldly, she asks Boaz to fulfill his role as kinsman redeemer. She says, "Spread the corner of your garment over me." She is proposing marriage in the middle of the night on the threshing floor. Now, Ruth is in an extremely vulnerable position here. Boaz could respond in any number of ways. If he were a dishonorable man, he could rape her right then and there on the threshing floor. Or he could take advantage of her. He could claim that Ruth had seduced him in the middle of the night. There are other harvesters sleeping nearby. They were all working together. He could cry out in a loud voice. He could expose her right then and there to public disgrace. There'd be severe punishment. See, Ruth and Naomi were in a desperate situation. And Ruth here, she just risks everything. She is risking everything here. By visiting Boaz in the middle of the night and proposing marriage, she has thrown herself completely upon the mercy of Boaz and his good character. So how does Boaz respond? Well, Boaz is a good man. And this is a love story. And he responds with mercy, with righteousness, and with love. Look at verses 10 through 13. "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all that you ask. All my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character. And although it is true that I am near of kin, there is a kinsman redeemer nearer than I. Stay here for the night. And in the morning, if he wants to redeem, good, let him redeem. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." Boaz realizes what a risk Ruth has taken by coming out to him in the middle of the night. And he's touched that she would seek him as a husband instead of one of the younger women, younger men. But see, Ruth wants to marry Boaz. One of the younger men, they might make a good husband, but they would not be a kinsman redeemer. And so any children born would not go to Naomi. It would not carry on the line of Naomi. So Boaz speaks kindly to her. He promises her he will do everything she asks. But, it's always a but, right? There's one hitch. There's another kinsman redeemer who's a nearer relative than Boaz. And this other man has first right of redemption. So Boaz will need to approach him first. Now Boaz doesn't want Ruth wandering home in the middle of the night. He's concerned for her safety. He instructs her. He says, "Stay here at the threshing floor until morning." Verses 14 and 15, "So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, 'Don't let it be known that a woman came to the threshing floor.' He also said, 'Bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out.' And when she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and put it on her. And then he went back to town." So when morning arrives, Boaz continues to shower Ruth with his love and his protection. He makes sure that she gets up before anyone recognizes her, and he instructs others at the threshing floor, "Don't say anything about a woman coming here today." And then he gives her 6 measures of barley to bring back to Naomi as a pledge of good faith. Naomi, poor Naomi. Can you imagine Naomi? I can't... She could not have slept all night long. I mean, she was probably just up all night wondering, what in the world has happened to Ruth? What have I done? You know? What do we do here? When Ruth returns, she immediately asks her, verse 16, how did it go, my daughter? Ruth told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, he gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed. Naomi said, wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens. The man will not rest until the matter is settled today. Remember, Naomi had left Bethlehem full, came back empty. But now God, through Boaz, is assuring her that she will not remain empty. Naomi and Ruth risked everything in going to Boaz. But Boaz's loving response was exactly the answer they needed to their desperate situation. And so we come to chapter 4 now, in the redemption of Ruth and Naomi. And it's here that we learn of the cost involved in all of this. This was a costly redemption. It's one that would involve great sacrifice on Boaz's part. And we'll see that when we see the response of the other kinsman redeemer who was nearer than Boaz. We pick up the story again in Ruth chapter 4, verse 1. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat there. Now he's waiting. When the kinsman redeemer he had mentioned came along, Boaz said, come over here, my friend, sit down. So he went over and sat down. And then Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, sit here. And they did so. And then he said to the kinsman redeemer, Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our brother Elimelech. And I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me so I will know, for no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line. I will redeem it, he said. So Boaz meets with the other kinsman redeemer. They're at the town gate with 10 of the town's elders. The town gate was the place where you did business, where you transacted legal matters, sort of like City Hall today. And the elders are there. They will serve as legal witnesses. And so Boaz tells the kinsman redeemer about this land that Naomi's selling and advises him, you know, you better buy it right here and now, because if you're not interested, I'm next in line. I'm going to buy it. Notice Boaz doesn't say a thing about Ruth yet. He's being a little sneaky here, because the land isn't the main point, is it? He wants to marry Ruth. But first, he needs to establish that if the nearer relative will not fulfill his role as the kinsman redeemer, then Boaz is next in line, and he will. So he just mentions the land first. But the kinsman redeemer says, okay, I'll do that. Not so fast, says Boaz. Verses 5 and 6. Boaz said, on the day you buy the land from Naomi and from Ruth, the Moabitess, you acquire the dead man's widow in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property. And at this, the kinsman redeemer said, then I cannot redeem it because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it. So Boaz, he drops a bomb on the proceedings here. You see, when Naomi's husband died, the property passed on to her 2 sons. And so if the man really wants to fulfill the role of kinsman redeemer and to buy this land, he's also going to have to marry Ruth the Moabitess. And notice how Boaz stresses that Ruth is from the hated country of Moab. That's intentional, isn't it? So this is a different matter entirely. This man doesn't want to marry Ruth the Moabitess. Not only that, he would be endangering his own estate, because if Ruth bears him a son, it's not his son. The son goes to Naomi. And then if something happens to his own sons, and the only son he has is now Naomi's, his entire estate will pass over to Naomi's family. This is a costly redemption, and he is not willing to pay the price. And so he tells Boaz, you redeem it yourself. I cannot do it. Then in the next verses, we read of a very interesting legal custom of the day. It says, now in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the kinsman redeemer said to Boaz, buy it yourself. And he removed his sandal. And the moment he took off that sandal, he forfeited his right as kinsman redeemer. And that right passed to Boaz. And Boaz, he wastes no time in enforcing it. Verses 9 and 10, Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. Those were her two sons. Now I've also acquired Ruth the Moabitess. He's not afraid of that term, is he? Mahlon's widow as my wife in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from the town records. Today, you are witnesses. It was a costly redemption. So costly, the other kinsman redeemer backed out of the deal. But Boaz loved Ruth, and he was willing to pay the price. Remember, the book of Ruth is a love story. And this week we learn that it is the story of a kinsman redeemer who at great cost to himself redeemed his beloved from a desperate situation. Now let's go back to Christmas. Christmas is also a love story. Wouldn't you know it? Christmas is also the story of a kinsman redeemer who at great cost to himself redeemed his beloved from a desperate situation. We are the beloved. And our desperate situation is described in Galatians 3 this way. The scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin. We were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. We were prisoners of sin. We were held prisoners by the law. We were lost in our sins, cut off from God, deserving of eternal punishment. We were desperate. We were in desperate need of a Savior. And how did God respond to our desperate situation? Galatians chapter 4 picks that up. It says, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. God's loving response was what we celebrate at Christmas. God sent his son. And Jesus, the eternal Son of God, was born into our world as a human being. He became like us in our flesh. He is closer than a brother. He became kin with us. And Jesus became our kinsman redeemer. He was born of a woman. Born under the law to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. And then finally, it was a costly redemption. We read in Mark 10, verse 45, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Just as Boaz did not serve himself, but served Ruth and Naomi. So Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And it cost him dearly, far more than it ever cost Boaz. You know, the other kinsman redeemer was worried about endangering his estate. Jesus left his estate. Jesus left the glories of heaven. He entered our world as a human being. He was forsaken by the Father when he took our sins upon himself. He gave his own life as a ransom for many. Yes, it was a costly redemption. Jesus is our kinsman redeemer, but his redemption is not automatic. You need to come to Christ for salvation. And just as Ruth recognized her own desperate situation, she cast herself completely on Boaz's mercy, righteousness, and love. In order for you to be redeemed, you need to recognize your desperate situation. You need to recognize your sin. And you need to cast yourself completely on God's mercy, righteousness, and love. And just as Boaz responded lovingly to Ruth and did not cast her away, we have this precious promise from Jesus in John chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. There's an old song that goes like this. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. Now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Christmas is the story of a kinsman redeemer who at great cost to himself redeemed his beloved from a desperate situation. Jesus is that kinsman redeemer. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this beautiful story in Ruth. Lord, my heart just goes out to Ruth, heading out in the middle of the night, unsure, vulnerable, afraid, so desperate. Lord, I thank you how you provided for Naomi and Ruth. But Lord, this morning we thank you how you have provided for us, for our situation is no different. Oh, how we need a Savior. Thank you that the angel proclaimed, today I bring you good news of great joy. A Savior has been born. Lord, may we rejoice in our salvation today and every day. Lord, if there's anyone here who does not know Jesus as their Savior, who have not come and cast themselves upon you for salvation, I pray today would be the day that they would know you not only as the baby in the manger, but as their own kinsman redeemer. You love them so much. You gave everything to save them. We thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.